This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to talk about a boogie woogie, and I'm going to play one.
I'm Steve Vinson.
I'm Paul Schultz.
And this is the Don't Panic Radio Show. Sit back, relax, and ignore the news. Nothing you're about to hear is true.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
Before that, Lisa Lisa and the Cult Jam with Head to Toe, and we started out that set with Exposé and Let Me Be the One. And let us be the one, KPRK 92 KPRK, Rob Bergen with you with some breaking news from the KPRK news desk. The Middleton County Sheriff and State Police are searching for three escaped convicts after prison officials lost contact with a prison transport bus carrying the convicted killers to the federal penitentiary. Officials suspect the bus might be lost in the blizzard that has taken over the tri-state area. Police say they don't know exactly where the bus was when communication was lost. They are searching a wide area and advise citizens to remain inside with doors and windows locked. We'll keep you posted as the story develops. In the meantime, be careful out there, folks. Quick break, and then we'll get you back to the music. This
damn
is
dude, escape cons running around in this blizzard. It's like Red Dawn meets Endurance. Should we check on your folks?
Nah. My old man's got more guns than Noriega. Endurance? Is that one of those college books?
An engineering school? You kidding? I read it during my time at the police academy. An explorer at the turn of the century trying to get to the South Pole ends up stranded on a glacier. It's a story about a guy that had everything going for him and then it all went to shit. You know, shit didn't turn out how it was supposed to. But he did what he had to do anyway.
Dark, dude. Sounds like somebody I know.
Yeah, man, my old man never let me forget what a mess I'd made of things. I didn't pick cotton and work the factory so you could drop out of college. When are you going to make something of yourself? Make something of the family name. You have any idea how much pressure that puts on a guy?
After listening to you go on about it after all these years? My folks met while my dad was in jail. The bar of expectation was pretty low for me. But hey, your old man was proud of you when you became a cop, though.
Yeah, should have seen his face when I graduated from the academy. Anyway, some people read Dr. Joyce Brothers. I read about doomed explorers. Helps me ignore the bad times. Man, turn that shit off. Put on some Christmas music.
Christmas music?
Yeah, we're going to a Christmas party. It's Christmas Eve. Put on some Christmas music.
Okay, okay, Bob Cratchit. You know, my folks met during a blizzard.
Thought you said they met while he was in jail.
Well, he had to get there first. There was this blizzard, maybe worse than tonight. The town was totally snowed in, and my dad was drunk. He figured he'd rob a drugstore that was closed down because of the storm. But the cops showed up. He took a bullet in the ass and got 5 years for $23. My mom was a nurse at the hospital when they brought him in. She says she fell for him hook, line, and sinker, right there. My grandparents almost disowned her over it. But she knew what she was getting into when she married my old man. Anyway, he's mellowed out a lot since I was a kid. And watch out!
Welcome to the Don't Panic Radio Show.
Extended beginning.
Extended beginning. What you just heard was absolutely 100% not true.
If only.
But Merry Christmas 2019. That is a little teaser of what we plan for you, Christmas 2019. That's a little sample of our creative process.
Right.
What a rare glimpse into what it takes to put together a show like this. So what we're doing is Paul and I will write separately. We'll work on the script separately. We'll send stuff to each other. We'll tell each other how shitty it is. And then we'll get together and we'll just go ahead and like we'll come to some sort of consensus, and then we'll just read through it.
You know,
we'll just each read our parts, and then while we're actually reading the parts, we'll stop and go, oh, you know what would be cool is if we said this. Hang on. I'll do this. Hold on. Buck and Frank and blah, blah, blah. And then we'll just go, you know what would be cool is a whole 5-minute scene where somebody, where one of the characters does this. It's like, well, what do you mean? It's like, well, okay, you say this, and then I'll just go into it.
Right.
And so it's kind of like, what did we call it? It's a spoken rough draft.
Yes.
It's brainstorming out loud.
Either one of those works.
Yeah. And then, of course, Paul, with his master, well, you're sitting right there. I don't know why I'm talking about you in the third person. You just, with your master stroke, with your pen, with your mouse. You play with your mouse.
I play with my mouse.
Next thing you know, you have something like that. So, little teaser, no spoilers, obviously, but that's the kind of thing we're working on. That was a character development / exciting opening. Thanks to MP Cavalier for his contribution.
The tiny script I gave him, he blew up.
It was awesome. It was literally like we sent him a message. He's like, oh, hell yeah, I'll do that. It's like, would you be interested in, and by the time we got out the part that, it's like, would you be interested in, oh, hell yeah, I'd be interested in whatever. And like within a couple of hours, you're sending me this recording. Like, well damn.
Yeah, he was like, oh, I can probably get it to you tomorrow or the next day. And then like 2 hours later, he sends me this file. And I mean, and full disclosure, I have so many audio files laying around that I've been gathering for the show for background sounds and stuff. Nice. Because I want to be able to put it together as fast as possible when we have, you know, the audio tracks. So it was just like, he sent me that, I listened to it, I slapped it in there with everything else, and it came together so well, I thought, that I had to share it. It's like a little thing to get the juices going, you know?
Yeah, you know, and I think this is going to be really, it's going to be a good year.
Mm-hmm.
The outcome, the result, is going to be pretty awesome. And it's going to be a demonstration of how long it takes and how much work it takes to put together really, really, really good content.
Right.
Because that, I mean, that piece right there represents just the amount of time I put into it. And I know you put in 10 times what I put into it. That piece right there represented probably 10 hours of work on my part. And and you spend at least, you know, 2, 3, 4 times what I did, at least, probably more. And that's just like, what was that? I don't know, a few minutes.
Just about 5 minutes altogether.
Yeah. And that's just a small piece of what we're putting together. Right. So now, in case you guys were wondering, why do we have to wait until Christmas? That's why.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, what you just heard was not 5 minutes of finished product. That was 5 minutes of a rough draft. That was maybe draft 1 or 2.
Yeah.
And so what we're planning on doing is the whole process is going to be kind of like that.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to put together these rough drafts, and then we'll kind of stitch it all together. It's going to take, you know what? Mm. When we first said Christmas 2019, I thought, oh my God, that's so far away. Why is it going to be? And now it's kind of like, now I'm like, that's a deadline that's going to be hard to hit.
That's why I'm sweating it around August to hammer out the Halloween show, because I know, you know, the people that do our audio, they're professionals and they'll get it knocked out. But it's like, I want to have that the script written by August. That way they've got a month to just lay down their audio. But in this case, because the story is so damn big and has a pretty good amount of characters, it's like, yeah, it's... I think you said something about, let's have the first draft of Act 1 by the end of February. I'm like, okay, that'll happen. We'll be lucky if we get it done by April.
No, I agree. And I don't know, maybe this is just me telling myself this because I don't want to get too freaked out about the deadline of Christmas 2019. But I feel like, and I truly believe, well, I don't know if I truly believe it. A very wise man, a creative writing professor, once taught me, and I don't have any other thing to go on, so I'll just believe it, that the first chapter of a book is something that you cannot shortcut.
Yeah. Like
you have to spend the time on chapter one because it sets up the entire thing.
Yes.
And so if it takes us a third of the year to just do the first act, I guess I'm okay with that. Or even the first scene of the first act, you know? Mm-hmm. I guess I'm okay with that because it sets the foundation for everything else that comes later.
Right. And even as a reader, when you're reading a book, sometimes, you know, chapter one doesn't seem like it does. Mm-hmm. You know. Like one of my favorite writers, Andrew Vax, it's like you read the first couple chapters of his books and you're like, what the fuck does any of this even, what's, you know, because it's all this random shit everywhere. And then about halfway through the book, it starts to gel. It's like, oh, man, yeah. So, you absolutely have to. You can't, you know, you can't just put down anything to get the story moving. You've got to establish so much. And the trick is to not have it just be exposition and, you know,
right,
backstory and all that happy jazz.
A huge trick. Yeah, that's where a lot of the skill and time comes in, is you got to go, well, we could just tell them in chapter one. So this is a story about blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But then people would go, well, that's not interesting. I think that's why there's this gimmick in modern fiction of starting the first, having this forward or this introduction or this pre-chapter one. Like, you always see the characters, or at least one, the main character, maybe multiple characters in some scene. And it's a movie device at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Every Mission Impossible starts out, every James Bond, I mean, every 007 starts out with the main characters in some sort of distress, some sort of problem.
Yep.
And there's some sort of adventure and tension, and then it gets resolved and they escape. And it ends up having maybe some tangential connection to what the story's actually about.
Mm-hmm.
But usually, if you miss that scene, you wouldn't be lost. You know, it's not like something happens in that scene where later on you go, whoa, wait a minute, I don't understand what's going on. Oh, well, you missed the first 3-minute scene, you know?
Yeah.
And I think maybe that's why they do use that device, is people will not commit to the whole thing unless they feel like they're going to get something good out of it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so instead of spending a ton of time on chapter one and putting all the chapter oneness into the chapter one, they just do some scene, which we could do. You know, we could totally do with this. We could just have some, we could have the four main characters getting some shootout somewhere and have some exciting thing happen and then go, okay, now we'll start the story. But instead, we're actually starting the story in the middle of the story and trying to develop the characters that way. Anyway, just so you guys know, there'll be more throughout the year.
Every couple episodes or whatever, we'll undoubtedly be doing shows like this to let you know how things are going. And it's just, it's fun to share the writing process.
Yeah.
I know we have writers that listen to the show, so they don't, this way they don't think they're just working, you know, in a bubble. We all go through this stuff.
5 years from now, somebody's going to listen to the actual show, the actual radio play. And then they're going to go, did you know there was a whole year's worth of behind the scenes in the, what do they call it? The actor's studio?
Yeah.
What's that thing that guy's?
Yeah, behind the actor's studio or whatever it is.
There's a whole year of that. You can go back and listen to the making of. It's sort of like a making of.
Yeah.
Anyway. So we got a couple of stories to tell you guys tonight, just as a quick update on what's going on in our lives. One, and in no particular order, one is apparently a story I haven't heard yet, which is something that happened at the library, apparently.
Yes.
And the other is I'll give you guys a Basil update. For those of you who have been following along on Facebook, Basil the Wonder Dog, Frankendog, I don't know, the undead. I don't know what, the immortal Wonder Dog. I don't know what's going on.
Change the channel, Marge.
All right, so I'll give a quick hashtag Basil watch. Basil's this dog that we found. I say we, my wife found him. I wanted to name him Lucky after the baby squirrel that we found 2 years prior to finding Basil. She finds this baby squirrel. Let's start with the baby squirrel, who we did end up naming Lucky.
Mm-hmm.
She finds this baby squirrel laying on the street in the city.
Mm-hmm.
Brings it home in a box. Feeds it milk out of a syringe.
Mm-hmm.
I have video of this.
Yeah.
And the kids wanted to name it. And I said, I have the perfect name. The name should be Lucky. That she found it and I didn't find it. Because what we call her finding it would have been me maybe noticing it and being like, oh, hey, look at that squirrel's about to die laying out in the middle of a street. So anyway, named Squirrel Lucky. And 2 years to the day. And I know it's to the day thanks to the technology known as Facebook. 2 years to the day, she finds this dog, this Minpin, on the street and brings it home. And this time I was like, we should name it Lucky, and I'm happy to keep it because that's a really cute dog. And he seems like he has a pretty cool personality.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys who listen to the show, remember, you know that he does have a cute personality. Hut, stop calling me cute. Sorry, Basil. I didn't know you were down here. I thought you were dead.
And he has a proclivity to consume things.
Stop calling me cute. I'm tough. That is true. He is pretty tough. One time he swallowed a mermaid. I don't know if you guys remember the mermaid story, but he swallowed an expanding mermaid. He swallowed an expanding mermaid. So anyway, yeah, he survived that. And then he got another blockage like a year later, and he almost died and survived that. We started calling him Basil the Wonder Dog because nothing seemed to be able to kill him. Fast forward to last Saturday, like less than a week ago. Mm-hmm. Well, Friday, call it Friday. Less than a week ago Friday, he's not wanting to get up out of bed. He doesn't want to eat. He's falling down. Every time he stands up, he falls down. And I just had the feeling.
Yeah.
I think this is it for this dog. But who knows? Maybe he'll get better. So we set up Friday night. First of all, Friday night, we're like, oh, let's watch a movie. Let's watch, you know, cheer us up. Because we're all, I was like trying to prepare the kids because
yeah.
He didn't do well all that day. Constance took him to the doctor. The doctor's like, took some x-rays and said, it might be this, this, or that. You know, $500 to treat this.
Yeah.
$300 to treat this. $400 to treat that. What do you want to do? I'm like, well, he's 15 years old.
Mm.
And, you know, what are you going to do? It's sort of like, you know, do you go into the doctor to find out you have stage 4 lung cancer and you're going to die in a week? Like, why do I want to pay all the money for that? How am I going to change anything that I'm doing? Right?
Right.
So as a 15-year-old dog, I was just like, you know what? If he doesn't pull through on his own, there's no medicine they can give. There are treatments they can do, right?
Yeah.
But they all involve poking him and keeping him at the vet in the hospital. It all involves a lot of painful, very disruptive, you know, procedures. Invasive is the word I was looking for. I was like, at 15, it would just be wrong to put him through that, right? So let's see what happens. We're probably going to go in and put him down Saturday. Saturday rolls around. He's still not doing great, but you know, just we put some water in front of him and he starts licking the water. I'm like, hold on, something's happening, right?
Yeah.
put a few pieces of kibble in front of him, and he eats the few pieces of kibble. And I say to my wife, I was like, he might not make it through tomorrow, but I mean, he's eating these little pieces of kibble. Let's just see what happens, right? He doesn't seem to be in pain. We call the doctor. How do we know if he's in pain? They gave us some like indications of if a dog's in pain, and he wasn't showing any of those indications. So we're like, well, let's just let it ride and see what happens. Sunday, we're still thinking like, oh, it's still not going to look good.
Yeah.
But he starts to eat more, starts to drink more water, starts to act better. I look over at my daughter and I said, you know what? I don't think he's going to pull through. I think he's still going to die. But wouldn't it be funny if he did pull through? She's like, if he pulls through this one, after like he was just almost dead Saturday, we thought we'd wake up Saturday morning and he'd be dead. Mm-hmm. She's like, if he pulls through this one, I think the military is going to want to like come study him. They're going to show up in hazmat suits and like in that one movie, it was a Mark Wahlberg. I forget who was in it, but they put the tent around the house.
Oh,
and they had the tunnel thing with the guys in the hazmat suits coming in and stuff. They're going to show up like that and like put him in some sort of hermetically sealed tank truck and like take him off to study him because we've discovered the secret to immortality. So can we just give you a DNA sample maybe? And then Monday, he's up walking around eating like regular meals, like just acting normal again. That's right. I was doing okay. So here's the thing. He still won't eat his canned food, but he's eating Poppy's kibble. Poppy's the other dog we have. So my theory now is he never was sick in the first place. He was on a hunger strike because he didn't like his food and he wanted better food. So it's like in prison. He's like, you guys almost let me die. All I wanted was some better food. I almost died for some better food.
You come home from work and he's sitting there in a robe and he's got a can of gasoline and he's pouring it on his head.
I want some kibble. I'll burn this place down. We'll start over. But he's doing great. So,
what a time.
So what the hell happened at the library?
You remember how I messaged you a couple days ago and I told you how the story behind writing the Halloween story could be its own story?
You did. Yes, I remember that.
I decided to make the Halloween story about a vampire. But a specific kind of vampire. A very obscure type of vampire. Because I wanted to do something unique. I started doing some research on different types of vampires. And I came up with this particular old Russian folk tale vampire called a Wurdelak. Tolstoy wrote a story about the Wurdelak, and that actually got eventually turned into a movie called Black Sabbath back in the 60s. That was where the band actually got their name from. Well, Tolstoy borrowed heavily from Pushkin, who wrote a story about a Wurdelak years earlier. Well, I read the Tolstoy story, and I wanted to find the Pushkin story. And I looked, I was almost on the dark web. I found articles about it. I found all kinds of stuff, but I could not find the actual story. So I decided to go to the library. I go to the library and I talk to the actual librarian, you know, and we're sitting at her desk and she's banging along on her computer trying to find, you know, these Pushkin stories for me.
She's like, for the last 20 years, no one has come and asked me anything. Oh, my God. She's like, are you messing with me? You're like, no, I really want. Really. She's like, do you not have Wikipedia? You're like, no, I do. I just haven't been able to find. She's like, really? You're really here to ask me? And you're like, please, just, you know, just believe me for a second. She's like, I've been waiting for this day for 20. I was going to retire last year. And I said, no, someone will come in eventually that needs me.
That is almost exactly the conversation we had while getting started.
And then you had sex with her.
Well, no. But okay. So she's looking along and she goes, "Well, is this a are you working on a project? Why are you so interested in this?"
Although now I have an idea for another story.
Dear Penthouse 4.
Okay, go on.
But she's like, why are you so interested in this? Is it a project? I said, well, actually, yeah. I said, I'm a co-host for a podcast, and we do a Halloween episode every year. And I wanted to use this creature in my podcast. As I'm explaining this, she's like, hold on. You have a podcast? I'm like, yeah. She goes, what? How do I find it? I said, don'tpanicradioshow.com. She picks up her phone and she goes, you mean this one? And she holds it up. I said, yeah, that's the one. Boop. She bookmarks it.
Mm.
And I said, you know what's funny is, I almost never run into anybody in this town who even knows what the hell a podcast is. She goes, this library is full of podcast geeks. So then I go into my spiel about what the show is about.
Hey, everybody.
We talk for a while about it, and then she goes back to her work, and then suddenly, out of nowhere, this old dude comes up to the desk. He looks like Freud, white beard, the little round glasses, the brown jacket with the patches on the elbows, you know? Well, there's this young lady behind him. And he goes, excuse me, but I couldn't help. You're looking for Pushkin? And I'm like, yeah. I said, I'm having a hell of a time trying to find him. There's a specific story that he wrote that I'm looking for. And he goes, that's funny that you're looking for an English translation of the Russian, because I tutor Russian people here English. He points to the girl behind him. He goes, I tutor her once a week for an hour on, I tutor her English. She's from Russia.
Does she have one of those big hats? You are looking for Pushkin?
I didn't even notice it at first, but when he said she's from Russia, I looked at him like, yep, she certainly is.
How'd she look?
You know, Russian.
Ample?
The cheekbones and all that.
More cushion for the Pushkin.
It was like, what are the odds, right? And he's like, well, what exactly are you looking for? And I told him, I said, well, I'm doing research on the Vorderlac. And she goes, and does like the cross thing and like runs away.
This is the night when fear and horror walk hand in hand.
This is Black Sabbath.
Starring the incomparable Boris Karloff, the personable Mark Damon, and lush and lovely women. Even though one is from the netherworld, a vampire, a Vordalak, Black Sabbath. The bare truth about the unbelievable.
I am hungry.
Is he man? Or vampire? An adventure into black magic that goes beyond the boundaries of the supernatural. And a man's devoted love is welcomed by a woman's deadly lust for his blood.
For Basil, the robo-dog. For the Russian professor and his hot student. And for Paul Schultz, I'm Steve Vinson. This has been the Don't Panic Radio Show.
Ничего, что вы только что услышали, было правдой.
That's what we keep inside our minds. That's what we keep inside our minds.
Sometimes, Mouse, you think you know people, and then you don't. Then you wonder, have I met them before? But it doesn't matter. You're just information. That's what we keep inside our heads.